Our scripture reading today is found in James 3, 13, 4 through 8. If you want to follow on the Pew Bible, I think it's somewhere around page 1056, maybe, at the back of the Bible. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfless ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes wars and what causes fighting among you? Is not your passions that are at war in your members. You desire and do not have, so you kill, and you should covet and contain and cannot obtain. So you fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you are wrongly to spend it on your passions. Unfaithful creatures, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is in vain that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit which he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you men of double mind. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, wasn't that a cheery reading? James really did not care whether we were cheered by these words. They are seemingly very, very harsh. They pretty much tell it like it is, at least in James' way. We all know that we can be of two minds. We all understand, as Paul did, that there is a principle within us that seeks God, and there's also a principle within us that opposes God. James agrees. And while he went to much length to tell us what not to do, we may give a moment to consider more personally how James' call asks us to think about our own lives and the lives of those around us, and how we get along together, especially. It is at that point we might want to start. In our world, in our country, in our faith, sometimes we tend to believe holiness is all about ourselves. We think of our own life and trying to keep it straight and pure. And in one sense, that's not a bad idea. But sometimes it gives us the opportunity to be very confident about what we have done and who we are, to the point where we might at some point say to somebody else, I am better than you because I am more holy than you, or that holier than thou attitude. In truth, you've heard me say this before, holiness is not so much about being pure selves as it is about being set apart for service to God. I would also say that holiness is not so much about being a pure self as it is about being in relationships of love with other people, as well as God. In fact, I believe that when everything is said and done and God comes to figure out what will be done with us, to judge our lives and our thoughts and our actions and all of that, that God will be a great deal more disappointed in us, not over the things that we personally have done, but over the things that we have done to each other. And that will not be a happy day. You can hear it in Matthew 25 when we talk about Jesus being the judge and the sheep and the goats. It's clear that it wasn't so much about what they did personally, but what they did for others. And so it's important for us, especially as we come to this point where we celebrate the Lord's Supper, to think about how we get along with each other. For listen to James' words again. You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. You covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. James knew human beings. He knew what human beings were like in his day, and apparently he was confident that there was not much change going to happen in 2,000 years. We still want stuff and cannot get it. We still want things and cannot obtain it. We are a people who are double-minded. If we don't commit murder, there are occasions when we would like to at least contemplate it. And we often do engage in disputes and conflicts. So, as we begin to think about the Lord's Supper, where we all come together, claiming that we are the body of Christ, and we are indeed the body of Christ, and what do we say? Redeemed by his blood, made for service to the world. Let's think about these questions. What makes you angry? Think about that for a second. Who makes you angry? Is the anger that you feel over these issues rooted in indignation or jealousy or envy? Think about your last couple of weeks. Have you had an argument or a fight with another? Are you willing to continue to argue and fight over the issue? Are you thinking about calling them names or gossiping about them, or at least trying to smirch or besmirch their reputation? Think about the people you have trouble getting along with, who seem to know how to push your buttons and get you going, or that you seem to be able to bristle at every time you see them. What do you really have against that person? You see, these are the kind of questions that James' comments would lead us to ask about ourselves. And we may discover as we answer them that some of the time, anyway, that what provokes our anger and our separation from another, what causes us to speak ill of another, what causes us to desire another's downfall and our uplifting, is not God's will, God's love, but envy selfish ambition or covetousness. And we are willing to try to paint those in the best light possible, saying, for instance, I have a right to be angry. Or it's not just. We need to bring those to the table. James is speaking to a congregation of people who have gathered together to worship Christ, to be shaped by Christ, to be formed by Christ. Just like you and I gathered to worship and praise and be formed by Christ. And he recognizes the double-minded nature of human beings. And he knows that we need to confront what it is within us that provokes separation between those who should love each other. And so he invites us to think about these questions. And then he goes on to say, submit to God and resist evil. Another thing that is good advice. We do not have to cave in to those parts of our being that provoke envy and ambitiousness that is selfish or covetousness. We need not cave into that, and often we don't. We resist it and we call upon God to help us. And we are following James' advice when we do. But there will be times when we will not have followed James' advice, or we will have done a half-hearted job of it. And then we will have to know what James says finally at the very end. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. That is what this meal is about. It ultimately is not about our perfection, for we cannot come as perfect beings. It is not that everything in our life is resolved satisfactorily at this moment. It is not that we somehow are a superhuman person of faith. It is that we are God's child, struggling with our double-mindedness, desiring to submit to God and resist evil, and doing the only thing we know we can do to feel and be and live better, to draw near to God and trusting that God will draw near to us. Indeed, God is so close as to be present in your heart. Indeed, God is so close as to be present in the person sitting right next to you, or right in front of you, or right behind you. Indeed, God is so close as to be in this place at this time, the holy, eternal, creative God in this place, in this time, so near to you, and so in love with you. And so, as we celebrate this feast, let us cleanse our hearts and minds in confession and come, knowing that God will give us the strength to submit to God and resist evil. Come and draw near to God, and let him draw near to us. In Christ's name.